Well, years ago, he launched the Black Vault, an incredible website dealing with all kinds of secrets, 444,000 pages of government documents. And now he's got governmentsecrets.com. In a moment, John Greenwald joins us on Coast to Coast AM. And here we go. John Greenwald, hosting, of course, a very popular website, theblackvault.com. More than 440,000 pages of government documents. And he has also now got governmentsecrets.com. Welcome back to Coast, John Greenwald. John, we've watched you grow in the business over the years. How are you?
I'm good, George. Thank you so much for having me back. And in fact, I have to just add one thing about the page count. I've actually, since you and I last talked, I've now surpassed 1.3 million.
Wow, you more than doubled it.
Yeah. It's gone considerably bigger than I think I've ever imagined. But in the last 6 months to a year, it has taken a huge leap, and it's just doing nothing but growing. But yeah, 1.3 million pages and going strong.
How do you keep track of that?
I won't lie. It's pretty difficult. I just filed. I don't have an exact count on my number of FOIA requests. I do know it's well over 4,500 on how many requests I've officially filed with the government. Pretty much deal with every government agency that you can think of, and I filed about 4,500 requests, yielded about 1.3 million pages. Keeping track of it all, I do my best to organize that in a database that people can use and search and, you know, kind of feasibly get around in. It's definitely a challenge, and I work pretty hard to try and make it as easy as possible. But 1.3 million pages, it's not easy.
That's a lot of work. How do you store that much, John?
Well, I've got pretty much files everywhere. I've got them in my office here. I've got them in the garage. I still, even though I haven't lived with mom and dad for quite a long time, have a lot stored over there.
Do they ever bug you, John, come get this stuff?
You know, they've always been supportive, so no, I can't say they've ever bugged me about it. But in the beautiful age that we live in, a lot of stuff is electronic now, and I will get responses through my email, you know, of 100, 1,000, sometimes 5,000 pages that they'll send me electronically, and it's kind of great because it makes my job a lot easier, where I don't have to sit and scan everything and scan that a lot of times they'll send it to me through email. Not every agency does that, so I still have my work cut out for me, where I've got a scanner, you know, going through all these pages, scanning one by one. But it does make it a lot easier when they come electronically. And also makes the wife happy that I don't have that many more to store, because it is getting out of hand.
Well, you know, it's funny hearing you say the wife, because when you first started doing this, John, a long, long time ago, and we were talking to you and watching you, how old were you? You were a kid.
I was 15. Yeah, I first, I think I was first on with Art Bell back when I was 17, just about 18.
You were like a boy wonder or something.
Well, I've been called worse, but thank you. I appreciate that. It's been a long ride. I mean, this is my 18th year come August and September.
That's amazing.
Of doing this. And yeah, and the other big thing, in fact, I almost said it the last time we were on the air, but, we were still pretty young in the pregnancy, so I didn't announce it, but we actually had a baby boy.
Congratulations.
Thank you. This last February. So he's about to turn 4 months old. So if you hear some crying in the middle of the interview, although my wife will get him, that will explain. It's not me, because of the questioning. That would be my little four-month-old.
Nothing wrong with that. So you launched governmentsecrets.com. Tell me about that.
I did, yeah. So as we talked about a little bit on the Black Vault, you know, 1.3 million pages, that's near impossible to really sift through everything. I mean, you know, I do this for a living, and it's hard for me to read all that. And it's been a dream of mine to really kind of have what I would summarize as a kind of an editorial side to the Black Vault, taking 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 pages on a particular topic and really kind of summarizing it and really kind of making it where people can read kind of the overall view of what these documents say. And that idea spawned governmentsecrets.com. And now that, even though it's literally about a week old, I mean, thousands of people have now flooded over to this site. And so now that site has kind of morphed into an expose of all sorts of government secrets, most of which surrounding government documents. But in the day and age that we live in, I mean, there are so many government secrets, conspiracies, political scandals that are not off-the-wall theories. I mean, these are actually well-documented, not a leaked kind of thing. I mean, there are hard pieces of evidence to back up a lot of these amazing secrets about these, just that, government secrets. And so what I did was just compiled a lot of that and update this thing daily, and it has been a huge success in just the last few days since it officially launched. So I'm overly excited about it because, again, not to repeat myself, it's just been kind of a dream for a long time to really kind of take that 1.3 million pages and really kind of put it into a form that the internet audiences today, I think they kind of prefer. You know, there's a lot of researchers and investigators out there that will sift through 1,000 pages and look at what the information holds. And to me, that is the most fascinating. But there's a lot out there that just don't have time for it. And so I want to give them, you know, that same type of information, but more in a condensed form, and really kind of give the up-to-date information on what's coming out of the government and the historical stuff as well. I mean, there's fascinating stories that may be 50, 60 years old, but still fascinating nonetheless. And so that's what governmentsecrets.com is really all about, and it's really kind of growing beyond what I thought it would, and it's about a week old.
Is it all Freedom of Information Act information?
That was my original kind of intent, and then I realized there is so much out there that it wouldn't be fair just to limit it to the documents because, you know, in the world we live in, information moves so incredibly fast, you know, and documents through the postal mail via the Freedom of Information Act do not. And so what I had to do was kind of adapt a little bit that even though it's still based on documents, it's still based on that hardcore evidence, the government secrets, you know, we have to kind of look and keep up with the times to really kind of follow it. And I'm sure we'll get into this, but I think that that's one of the many tactics when it comes to government secrets and holding onto a conspiracy or a cover-up, in that if you hold on to it long enough, people either get bored or they give up trying. You know, and with the Freedom of Information Act, it takes a lot of patience. I've been doing this for 18 years, and I get frustrated all the time. Sometimes I've waited years, literally years, for a document to come that I've requested. My record is about 13, almost 14 years for a document to arrive under the Freedom of Information Act. 14 years. That's insane.
That's ridiculous.
They must know you by your first name over there, John.
Unfortunately, I think they do. And some of the agencies, you know, I think not only know me by my first name, but probably have a picture as a dartboard of my face that they like to, you know, throw some darts at. Because I know that some of the letters that I send are not easy to deal with because I don't take what I call a company line. And it's not just with the UFO topic, because the UFO topic is kind of what I'm known for. It's what the BlackVault.com is known for. But that's not really all that I deal with. In fact, that's a very small percentage of what I deal with. And so when they give the company line, whether it be on UFOs or whether it be on the JFK assassination or, you know, what name the conspiracy or cover-up, you really can look and see that there's a company line, that they want to just kind of dismiss whomever is requesting information and just say, well, you know, this is what UFOs are.
That's right.
And then they give you, you know, a quote-unquote fact sheet, and they just want to explain it away. Well, I don't take that, and I'll start filing additional requests for more information, and you dig and dig and dig. So the patience isn't just the waiting. The patience is the searching. The patience is the prying, you know, and that's all part of this massive game. But it just takes too much time, I think. And so to go back to your original questions with government secrets, I mean, what I do is really dive into a lot of different resources that are out there. I've spent the last 18 years, you know, navigating government websites, and let me tell you, they are not easy to use. And I think that's...
Not at all.
I don't know why. I mean, the amount of money that they spend, you know, not to get too controversial right off the bat here, but you look at healthcare.gov, you know, that shouldn't have happened. But it seems like when a government runs a website, it just nothing goes right.
Nothing goes right in anything they do.
in anything. And that's what I kind of don't understand. And that takes us back almost two decades to why I started the Black Vault, because when I first started, I was typing in documents by hand. I couldn't afford a scanner at the time. And so I was typing in these documents by hand because the U.S. government really didn't have those types of documents online at all. You know, the FBI, the CIA, the DIA, you know, 18 years ago, they didn't really have a quote-unquote document archive. And since kind of the Freedom of Information Act has evolved and the government is slowly playing catch-up to the 21st century, they created years ago what's called the Electronic Freedom of Information Act. But also they started putting in rules and regulations for government agencies that they have to have certain things on their website. For example, a Freedom of Information Act reading room. And quite simply what that means is consider it a very micro version of a black vault. Maybe not as interesting because a lot of the documents they put up aren't too exciting, but they are supposed to have this electronic reading room. So a lot of these agencies, if you actually look into it, a lot of these agencies put one up, but they've just like they haven't touched it in 6, 7, 8, 9 years. And so they can kind of fulfill their obligation, but they never touch it. They never add anything to it. And so, again, all of that played a role into me just adding documents because there's so much information out there. The government and these websites that you and I, you know, we might be able to get around a little bit, but they're so incredibly hard to navigate that most people give up. And I think that, again, that is part of that game that I keep referencing is, you know, if you give them enough frustration, make them wait long enough, make them lose their patience, make them not understand how to navigate a certain website, you know, what's the majority of people going to do but just give up and go back to their, you know, reality shows and stuff that they'll watch on television that really just doesn't help us learn anything. But that's what's out there and that's easily accessible. But
how much do you think you've spent in postage trying to get information?
Oh, I know it's definitely thousands of dollars since I started. And again, one of the great things about the evolution of the government with, you know, getting into the 21st century is that they will accept, or most agencies will accept, electronic FOIA requests now. And so that way you can email them in. So it makes my job a lot cheaper because I don't have to send in, you know, a stamped envelope every time I send in a request, because there are some days I'll file 20, 30, 40 requests. And so, you know, that doesn't really equate to much postage every day, but it adds up very quickly. So it's kind of nice to be able to just email it in.
How do you know what to ask for or what you're looking for?
That's the million-dollar question when you use the Freedom of Information Act. You know, the best thing that I can kind of say about it is you have to find that line to be specific enough to where they know what you're asking for, but broad enough that they don't, let's say, overlook certain documents that may pertain to what you're looking for. But if you're too specific, they just won't give them to you because, well, you didn't ask for it in the right way. And so how do you know what to ask for? I start broad, and I'll kind of broadly ask for information on a topic, whether it be UFOs or a certain project name or a certain piece of technology. And sometimes it'll come back and they'll say, well, you're too broad. What exactly are you looking for? And so then you kind of got to take it to the next step and say, okay, well, I want all the information in this particular year or from this particular state. And so you just kind of play that game. And unfortunately, it's a game that, you know, they make the rules. They're the referee, and you just have to abide by whatever they say. So it's kind of a one-sided game, but it's a game nonetheless. And I have a lot of fun playing it, but really it's incredibly hard to figure out exactly how to ask for things and what to ask for. You just kind of trial by error, I guess, is the best way to say it.
When you get some of the reports back, John, do you, you know, when you read them, do you go, oh, my gosh, I didn't know this? So what are some of the things that you've uncovered these days?
Well, recently, you know, there's been some great discoveries. I was tipped off that the intelligence community has what's called an Intellipedia. And this is the actual name for it, Intellipedia. And it's kind of like the intelligence community's Wikipedia. We all know Wikipedia is that online dictionary that pretty much anyone can go on and edit.
Find almost anything.
on exactly almost anything. And so the intelligence community has its own kind of top secret version that only intelligence agencies can actually access, and you have to have certain privileges. And so I learned about this, and I thought, okay, well, wouldn't it be fun to start requesting, you know, certain entries to this? And I mean, it took years to kind of navigate through, you know, trying to figure out what agency even controlled it, and it ended up being the National Security Agency, or the NSA, was the one that actually controlled it.
Go figure, right?
I'm sorry?
Go figure.
Yeah, go figure. I mean, they've got kind of their finger in everything. And sure enough, if you request entries under the Freedom of Information Act, you'll sometimes get them. And so I started compiling a database of my own. And if I have to request every entry, I'll do it. But I started requesting entries, like, let's say, on UFOs, which had a very interesting entry to it by itself. That actually had a screenshot of a 1950s sci-fi movie of UFOs on it, but no information. And that's really contrary to what kind of the other entries were, because the other entries actually had information, just like Wikipedia. So it kind of made me think, like, hey, wait a minute, are they omitting something here? Or, you know, is this just their kind of joke? Or, it's one of those kind of head-scratching moments that I think I had via the Freedom of Information Act, because I just couldn't figure out why they had, in this intelligence community Wikipedia called the Intellipedia, an entry for UFOs, but it was nothing but a 1950s screenshot from a movie.
Is it accurate, the information?
Well, there was no information in the UFO entry, but yeah, when you look at some of the other entries, some of the ones I've gotten were on mind control. And, you know, on mind control, it breaks down the MKUltra program and the CIA's involvement. And, you know, during the MKUltra program and the mind control experiments, we ended up killing one of our own agents. It's a very controversial topic. But they actually go into a lot of that information. And so it's very interesting to see, like, well, who's using this? You know, you kind of want to know, like, what agents, you know, why do they need to know about mind control experiments from decades ago? We understand why it would be in something like Wikipedia. You know, people research that stuff outside the government. But obviously, the intelligence community still has information like this, and you can download the information. Now, I've got it all on the Black Vault where these were released. They were declassified and released from the Intellipedia. For the most part, it looks very accurate. It doesn't have all the information we would want to know, but it's got quite a bit. There's information on the JFK assassination. The JFK assassination itself has an entry in this thing. I just got one the other day and put it up online about the Warren Commission and what happened during that. So a lot of historical references also. Even with the NSA and their control of it, I did a request on Echelon.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we all know about PRISM, which is the NSA spying program that Edward Snowden came out with. But Echelon had a very interesting response. It's the only one so far that received the "we can neither confirm nor deny that this page actually exists."
And do you get some of the pages blacked out, John?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got literally hundreds of thousands of them where, you know, they're just blacked out. And some of them are blacked out top to bottom. And it kind of makes you wonder, why do you even
give it to you? You know, why it's strange.
Yeah, why destroy the tree?
Hold on with it, John. We're going to take this break. We're going to come back and talk more about UFOs and what they're trying to do and how you stumble across some more discoveries in your search. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. John Greenwald with us. John, let's talk about some of these discoveries. Would they be shocking to people?
You know, I think you pick a topic and there's probably something shocking about it. I think what most people don't realize is, number one, that the Freedom of Information Act is there for us to use. That's number one. Number two, it actually works. You can get documents out. Sometimes you wait for it. It involves a lot of patience, but you do get results. Those results, you sometimes have to look through 1,000 pages, but there are gems on almost everything out there, you know, and I think that when you really look at what the government gives out, it really starts to make you think The problem, though, is the mainstream media doesn't really profile a lot of that. They love political scandals to a point. They love that juicy stuff.
Yeah.
But they'll spend six times as long on, let's say, a reality TV star. I don't want to name anybody in particular. But, you know, they spend six times as long on a reality TV star and the fact that they had a diamond-encrusted wedding cake. But they don't talk about a lot of these more important issues that, you know, the United States government and the United States military, these secrets that they're hiding. And I think that that's one of my intentions with GovernmentSecrets.com and why I launched this, is that those government documents need to have a spotlight. And I think that we need to look at it. We need to be shocked a little bit. We need to know what the government is lying about.
Sure.
You know, one particular thing that I think is laughable that I think that you'll appreciate and the listeners will appreciate is I did a request in the last year and a half or so to the National Security Agency to kind of see if any more UFO information has come out. And the reason I did that is very plain and simple. It was quite a few years since I had requested information from them. And there was still quite a bit of information that the NSA was withholding. And so periodically I go back and I'll request the same type of information because sometimes they will have declassified it and there's more available. So anyway, I got a response from the NSA. There was no additional information available, but the National Security Agency said that in their written letter to me that all UFO information that was pretty much still being withheld was nothing more than a description of a conventional aircraft or some other type of object, probably a weather balloon. So here we are still this day and age fighting the weather balloon explanation, and that's what the NSA is still claiming what most quote-unquote UFOs are. Now, I mean, I just don't understand where these explanations come from. I mean, do they honestly think that we are that stupid? You know, I mean, maybe they can get away, you know, with saying, well, it was a weather balloon in 1947, because there's really nothing we can do to prove or disprove it. But here we are in 2014. Do we really think there are that many weather balloons in the sky that are creating these thousands of cases that are being reported a year and these hundreds, if not thousands, of pages of still top secret information that the government's withholding, and it's primarily weather balloons? I mean, that doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all, does it?
But that's what they give me.
Yeah.
That's an assigned letter from the NSA.
Do you think, John, they try to purge some information and they just never give it out?
Purge as in destroy?
Yeah.
Yes, and in fact, there's documented cases of it. And to stick with the UFO topic, there was, you know, a specific case that dealt with a request on the 1986 Japanese Airlines. It was Flight 1628, and you know, the very brief story about this is it was just that it was JAL 1628, the flight in 1986. Pretty famous case in UFO legend and lore. I mean, it's been around for a while. It's been in many books. And I had filed a request to the FAA about documents pertaining to this particular UFO case. Now, when I do this, and I've got examples in the past, and I've put them on the Black Vault, is you can request information on a certain flight, you can get power logs, you can get, you know, radar records, you can get even the recorded transcripts of the pilots talking back and forth with air traffic control. So that being said, I had requested information on this very famous UFO case, and they said that there was 107 pages that were responsive to my request, and a part of the game, they said, you're a commercial requester, meaning I was, like, selling the information, which I never have. I never will. I never have. It's always been free. So I wrote them back and did this months-long battle that stretched months and months with the FAA, and they said that I had to pay this outrageous amount of money for 107 pages. But then they said, to help you out, withdraw your request, meaning get kind of the legal ease out of it, withdraw your request, and we'll just go ahead and send it to you for free. So I thought to myself, well, that's just weird. Why don't you just send it? You know, I mean, why go through all this legal hoopla for months and months and then just say, well, officially withdraw your request. We'll send it for free. All right, great. So I sent her an email at the FAA and said, I hereby withdraw my request. I appreciate the information that you'll send me via postal mail, and that's it. Months go by. I never received anything. So I filed another request, and I said, you know, that we waited for these documents. I'm not a commercial requester. And I filed again. And the response I got this time was that all 107 pages were all destroyed. Now, this was a case in 1986. I had requested this in 2001. This actually goes back to 2001. It took quite a few years to go through the battles and the debates and the legal, so on and so forth. And then when I finally re-requested it, they said, oh, sorry, well, it's all been destroyed. And apparently, when they said that they were going to send it to me for free, all of that was overlooked. So it's like, what happened in that? You know, I mean, you can't help but think that's a little bit of a cover-up.
That is strange.
You know, it's 107 pages. You're supposed to get 100 of them per request for free under the Freedom of Information Act. And anything thereafter, you pay. And I've paid, you know, thousands of dollars over the last 18 years. You have to do it as part of the FOIA, so no big deal. But 7 pages past what I should have got for free, that's 70 cents for the most part.
What have you found, John, when you're doing this, to be one of the most incredible stories that you've uncovered that is right there in black and white?
Well, I think one of the biggest ones, in my opinion, I mean, there's quite a few, to be honest with you. You know, just recently it was proven that the United States Air Force was called by the Huffington Post about a regulation that they had on the books that I had discovered, which specifically mentioned unidentified flying objects and how the United States Air Force was still investigating them. And more so reporting them and archiving them, that this was something that was on the books. And after I got Lee Spiegel at the Huffington Post to actually do an article on it, they called the Pentagon, or he called the Pentagon, left a couple messages, and literally about 48 hours after his initial inquiry, the entire manual for the Air Force was changed. The entire section of UFOs was completely deleted and omitted. It was gone. And they claimed, after they finally called the Huffington Post back, that it was simply a coincidence. And this regulation was on the books for years. I can prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that it was actually updated multiple times in the last couple years, that they could have taken out any reference to UFOs. But now a major media outlet is going to spotlight this thing, and they completely delete it. They completely omit everything. And just pretty much cover it up. I mean, there's no other word for it. So I think that in itself, because that one document, just that one, proved a cover-up. It proved that they're downright lying about whether or not the United States Air Force and our U.S. military is interested in the UFO phenomena, right? So that's something that I think that was very, very important to the field of UFO research. And within 48 hours, they found it, you know, important enough to hide the whole thing, delete it, and cover it up. So I think that's something that's definitely one of my favorite stories. But there's other documents that are specific to UFO cases. You've got the Japanese Airlines, you know, story that I just mentioned, where documents were destroyed. You know, you can't help but think that that's some type of a cover-up. You've got other cases that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago that are archived in the CIA files and the NSA files that you can read. You know, these aren't blacked out. These aren't, you know, someone leaking a story. This isn't somebody that's, you know, coming out with testimony that can't be confirmed. These are actual documents that you can read.
This is the real deal.
This is the real deal. And what you read cannot be explained even to today's standards. And you look at these things, and then you line them up to next to something that's still considered top secret and that is blacked out from top to bottom. You have to ask yourself, what is that? You know, if I can read this amazing case, what is considered top secret? You know, why can't I read that? How important, how amazing is that case? So, you know, that's the long-winded way to answer your question, but I think that there's so much out there. You know, and I know we're just zeroing in on UFOs right now, but I mean, there's so much out there. It's just hard to pinpoint that one thing. It's just this gigantic puzzle and this gigantic mystery. And I think that, you know, I'm going to reference, quote unquote, the game again. I think that's part of the game, that sometimes if you only release a little bit, then you only have a little bit to look at. If you release a lot, I think a lot of people are just going to get overwhelmed and more so confused by what's all out there and then just give up, you know, in that right also. And I think there's something to be said that there's just too much information. There's too much evidence to really support this, and more people will just kind of shut down and go, okay, that's just too much to look at. Oh, really, that agency released 4,000 pages, you know, of UFO information. Well, that's too much for me to look at, so moving on.
John,
you know, and that's something that we shouldn't do. But in this day and age, that's what we do. We live in a world of, you know, 30-second internet videos. You know, years ago, before Twitter ever existed, who would think that that would be a major form of communication where you would have to tell a story or communicate with your friends all in under like 70 characters? You know, I mean, that's ridiculous, but that's what we live in. That's the world we live in. So flood somebody with 4,000 pages on whatever topic, they're just going to say, ah, forget it. You know, I'm going to go tweet something else. And that's it.
So some people think, John, that weird things are happening with UFOs, for example, that they're taking people, they're taking things, taking planes. Some people have hypothesized that the missing Malaysian jet MH370 mm-hmm. could have been taken. Strange, isn't it?
Now, taken in what way?
Gobbled up by a UFO.
I mean, I've seen that theory is definitely out there. I mean, you've got a lot of cases in the, you know, Bermuda Triangle area of planes just mysteriously disappearing. You know, I mean, is that my personal belief? Yeah, no, I don't believe so. I actually thought the plane was going to turn up somewhere. I thought it was hijacked and it landed somewhere, but that was, you know, I think I'm
still
wrong
might.
On that.
It still might. You never know.
Yeah, you never know, but it's sad, I think, that there's so many, you know, stories out there. What do you believe? You know how many pictures of this flight have been, you know, thrown around of a big jumbo jet in the middle of a jungle somewhere, and somebody says, look, there's the Malaysian Airlines flight, then we discovered it, you know, and there's so much false information that floats around about stories like this that, again, you know, maybe it's not a UFO gobbling it up, but maybe it was some other type of government, you know, cover up or conspiracy, whatever it might be. I'm not saying there is one, but just whatever that story might be. But there's so much quote unquote disinformation that's out there. It then just makes it impossible to really kind of figure out what the truth is. And I think that kind of analogy floods over to every topic, UFOs included, government scandals included. You know, I think that when you have so much different disinformation out there and everybody's looking for that next quote-unquote viral story that's going to get them a million hits on YouTube or a million hits on their website, that, again, that's the day and age we live in, and we have to sift through all of that to really kind of figure out what the truth is. And I don't want to say that I'm losing faith in really kind of discovering what the truth is on some of these topics. I would say that's more so in a positive light. That's more so my motivation for governmentsecrets.com and theblackvault.com to really take these documents, give them the spotlight, to take these stories that you can't deny. I mean, you can't get away from this and put the spotlight on it.
Are you like Edward Snowden in a way?
No. And that's, you know, that when you and I last talked, Edward Snowden came up, and, you know, I've always been outspoken that I'm an advocate for releasing government secrets. I've always been that way. But I'm also an advocate that there are certain secrets that should and need to be kept. And I believe that wholeheartedly, that I think there's certain things that you and all of us just shouldn't know. For multiple reasons, we just shouldn't. And I think that some of the stuff that Edward Snowden came out with, when it puts people in danger, and when it puts me in danger and my family in danger, when all of a sudden certain things that may have been keeping me safe yesterday are now out in the open and not being utilized and now putting me in danger today, yeah, I start to kind of wonder, well, maybe that, I think that was something that I shouldn't be hearing about, because not that I'm up to no good, but some other people are, and now maybe they can get away with it. That was the last time you and I talked. After I've now kind of researched, you know, more and more about what Snowden's claiming and this, that, and the other thing, even though some covers were blown and some people kind of been compromised, so to speak, I personally believe that Snowden, I think there's a big possibility that Snowden was actually put up by the United States government to do what he did.
Why?
Because to be blatantly honest with you, two reasons. One, we really didn't learn anything new. You know, going back to what I was talking about earlier with Echelon, we know that Echelon...
We knew they were set up to spy on everything. Emails, exactly. Everything.
Right. So now we just have a newer name for it. We have PRISM, right? Echelon has been talked about for years. We've all heard the Echelon conspiracies. If you're into this topic, you've probably heard of Echelon, or at least the program itself, that if you send an email, I hate to say it because I'll probably be tagged that I'm saying it, but as an example, whoever's listening, if you say the word kill and you say the word president in the same email,
you're in trouble.
You're in trouble, right? So it gets tagged and people look at it. Well, that was kind of the conspiracy for years over Echelon. PRISM, same deal. You say that in a sentence. They just heard me say it here on Coast to Coast. I'm now going to be investigated in 20 minutes. They'll realize that it was nothing and move on. Right? So what did we really learn from Snowden other than some specific names and so on? However, the result of what Snowden has done, in my belief, is that he's revolutionized the way that the NSA specifically processes FOIA requests. Now they give what's called the GLOMAR response, and what that means is that we can neither confirm nor deny. And before Snowden, I never really received that response. After Snowden, I receive it all the time. Now, part of me thinks that, well, maybe I'm just asking for more sensitive material. The other part is they specifically mentioned due to the Snowden leaks, you know, they can't confirm or deny anything now, because if they do, then it kind of adds legitimacy. In my opinion, it's a big play for them to just blame everything on Snowden and go, well, sorry, we can't admit to that. You know, well, we can't admit to that either. We can't admit to that. And I think that the motive is there to put somebody like Snowden up and be the fall guy. You know, I mean, not to sound too conspiratorial, what if we found out 20 years from now, 40 years from now, Edward Snowden died in the 90s and he was a special ops agent.
Yeah.
And he was just the image of what the government wanted and needed at the time. They thought, okay, let's just put this face out there, have him, quote unquote, spill the secret.
And they created him.
And they created him. Now, I know there's videos, I know there's photos of him, and that's fine. And I'm sure, you know, Glenn Greenwald, no relation, the journalist for The Guardian, would probably argue with me on it. But I think that, you know, not to sound too conspiratorial, but that's a big possibility. And even if he is a real guy, and even if he is hiding out in Russia, I still think that the theory could very well be true, that he was put up to it. Because it really did kind of revolutionize the way the NSA and even other agencies respond to FOIA requests. And I specifically have been shot down on more FOIA requests with the we that can neither confirm nor deny. I receive that response more frequently than ever before. So
are they still rolling in, though, for you?
They're still rolling in. I mean, I send them out in a volume that they probably won't stop for quite a while. So even though some of them get shot down, you know, there's still a lot coming in. And I mean, there's literally thousands of pages that come into my desk, you know, every month from these agencies. And again, not to turn it political, but with this administration and this era that we live in and what has transpired in the last 5 years has given me fodder that'll probably last for decades. I mean, there are more government secrets, conspiracies, and scandals, I think, than really any other presidency in decades. And I don't know if I should be happy about that because it's what I do or
sad.
Kind of,
hey, John, we're going to talk more about this, about your work, and we'll take phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.